Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater at our new time at 2:15 in the afternoon. My name is Jean Paul.
And my name is Mark Muro. And today our guests are Grant Olson and Logan Keller, who came down here from Valley Performing Arts up in Wasilla to talk about their play, which opens tonight, Tennessee Williams' classic, Night of the Iguana. Welcome, guys.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So what made you decide to do this wonderful play after all these years?
I was recruited by the artistic director. He wanted to know if there was something that I would be willing to do. Last year, Logan and I did together a Run for Your Wife, which was a sex farce, and we wanted to do something a little bit different. And I've always wanted to do The Night of the Iguana by Tennessee Williams. I thought it's a lovely play. And so I asked, and he said, yes, we can put it on the list. So that's what we did.
Well, I'm really glad you have it because it's just a beautiful piece of work. And Williams is one of our greatest, if not the greatest, I think, American playwright we have. And we don't get to see this too often. I've never seen the play. Of course, I've seen the movie a couple times, which is great. And it's so nice that, you know, somebody, like years go by and there's no Tennessee Williams. How is this? It's strange.
That's true. And I do know, I'm pretty sure that UAA did it way, way, way back when. I remember seeing a poster of it. And so it must be like 20 years since we've had it. And I don't know, I can't remember a Tennessee Williams that's been done in recent history. And this is just really quite a beautiful play. A little bit like Glass Menagerie, but has a little bit more drama, Sturm und Drang to it, because these are tormented people.
Definitely, it was Tennessee Williams. And it's, to me, it's kind of like the portable Tennessee Williams, because you have all the themes from all his other plays and everything kind of compressed into one. So if you had to see one, I think it would be this one. If you know, everybody has their own little arc of redemption. Everybody has their own, you know, personal torment, and then they all intersect. It's kind of the you know, Grand Hotel thing.
This is true. This was written in 1961, and it was considered his last masterpiece, and you could see how all those elements have come together in that one play.
I've always felt it is a masterpiece. If you're interested in playwriting, you can learn so much from watching this play.
It is a really layered play, and we were making discoveries all along. Even right up to a couple nights ago, we were still going, oh, I get this. And then when he provides you that kind of information in the text, you try to enrich it with the stage business and the way people move and react to each other that supports what his intentions were.
Yeah, and like you say, with the discovery, it's how well thought out it is, or just his genius at work here, just with so much depth all at the same time, where it just keeps, which is why, you know, we keep going back to Tennessee Williams. Okay. Logan, who do you play in the play?
I actually decided to take a very small role in this play. I play Hank, the bus driver, mostly because I was wearing a couple more hats this time around. Helping out with lighting design and some of the PR. But it's definitely been a very beautiful show from all the actors. It's nice to actually for once get to see the entirety of the show instead of being on front all the time.
And just to be around this language and see the whole structure of the play.
Oh, yeah.
It must be inspirational. Do you have any aspirations to write? I mean, you must be You know, thinking about it.
I love writing stories, and I especially love stories that involve characters that have flaws, because it's something that I think everyone can kind of touch base on, and deep down someone's always been hurt or they've had problems, and they can understand the character so well, and that's always really drawing for me. It's nice to be able to understand where someone's going on their life journey and be able to relate and see that they actually come to some kind of good resolution in the end, just makes you feel that much better about the character. So yeah, it's definitely...
The drama depends upon not the flaw and also the delusion, the person's blindness to their flaw and other people's flaws. So we in the audience, we know what's going on, but they're kind of like flailing about. And then they're illuminated with us, and that's the idea, I suppose.
It's a little bit different than watching an Arthur Miller play who doesn't have much of a sense of humor. You don't find much humor in Arthur Miller. But Williams does have a sense of humor, and it comes out. And so it provides you a release, a sense of relaxation, and then he bangs you with something else that's just strong and vibrant.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of humor in it, too.
Yeah, very funny, yeah.
So who do you have playing the other parts?
Well, we have Ted Carney, who is one of Valley Performing Arts' leading actors. He just won an award last year, in fact, for Run for Your Wife, and he's won several awards playing the part of T. Lawrence Shannon. We have Ruth Jostin, who is kind of a newcomer, but fits the part very well of Hannah Jelks. And then a school teacher from Colony High School. I think it's her second time on our stage, but she had quite a bit of experience prior to this, and she's just now getting back into the theater. Gina Graham playing Maxine Falk. And what an incredible supporting cast. It is a cast of 14, and I've got some of the really strong, I mean, Logan and, of
Cynthia
course,
Lee.
Cynthia Lee is Judith Fellows, and Dave Newfer. It's just really a very strong supporting cast.
Are there any iguanas in the play?
We hid that iguana. I found out that somebody in our cast actually had access to an iguana, but we didn't want to torment that poor thing at the end of its rope. So we do have it in a burlap bag, and no one really ever sees the iguana.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. That's even better, actually.
Yeah, no harm was done to any animals in the making of this play.
The mystery reptile.
For those who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk, here with our guests Grant Olson and Logan Keller from Valley Performing Arts, who opened tonight in The Night of the Iguana. So how do you feel about directing it after all these years? I understand you've been directing something else at the same time.
I was directing a production for the high school, Hello Dolly, exactly at the same time that I was directing this. We just closed Hello Dolly at the high school just last week, and
tonight
the next week I open up The Night of the Iguana. So you can see that there's quite a disparity between the two shows. But I've always enjoyed doing both musicals and dramas and comedies. Mm-hmm. I've directed over 60 plays and musicals in my time, and written about, you asked about Logan writing, I've directed probably 10.
Write your own play, you're a playwright yourself. Yeah, I've seen several of your plays, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm thinking about shopping around another one that I wrote way back when that I just rediscovered, and see if I can't get it on. So it's been fun.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kind of funny with these two plays back to back. I mean, simultaneously. Did you ever get mixed up and kind of sense?
It's hard to mix up those two shows, Mark.
You know, how surreal it would be. It would be so funny.
One is very stylish and elegant and fun, and this one is really, you're dealing with three-dimensional characters with this play, The Night of the Iguana, and you can't mistake the two plays at all. One of the nice things about this particular production was the technical people that came on board, and it's a heavy duty one set show, but it, you know, with the lights and the sound, there's a storm at the end of Act One,
right? That's
which
right.
is really fun, and we've added a little gag there at the end. You know, that's that special effect that I think people will actually. We have several special effects that I think people will really enjoy. And the second act is just beautiful as they work out their problems. I really think it's a better play than it is a movie. I didn't get some of those connections in the movie that we're sensing and feeling in the play.
So tell me, Logan, what's it like to stage a storm?
It is quite an experience. I've never seen anything done with a show on set on stage that is drawn in and really made the audience, other than blatant participation from audience members, this makes you feel as though you're really experiencing the entire environment. It's I don't want to give too much away because it's just so beautiful, but the things we've done have been brand new to anything I've seen at VPA done and anything I've ever seen ever, and it is absolutely amazing that you're not going to be falling asleep.
Well, I guess I'll have to go up and stay
awake. Yeah, hopefully we've intrigued you.
No, I'm very intrigued.
I'm very intrigued.
I kind of really want to see this. Now, is it three acts or two? Or?
It's still a two-act play. There was one in the second act. There's a point at which he gets tied up into a hammock. It was supposed to be done straight on through, but we thought it was going to take so long to get this hammock. So we just made it into a scene break and tied him up, and there was no problem with doing it that way. So I've altered his structure a little by having two scenes in the first act and then two scenes in the second act.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. And now this play is running for 3 weekends.
That's correct.
And usually you run 4.
That is correct.
Well, how come it's being curtailed?
I guess some of the powers that be think that there isn't a market for drama, and we'll see. It's certainly a different play that's been stuck into the middle of this particular season. We have to put a – they wanted us to put a disclaimer suggested for mature audiences, but I teach at a middle school, and I'm telling my eighth graders I don't think they'd have any problems with this particular show. I mean, it's there are adult themes that someone young may not care to sit through, but other than that, there's nothing offensive in the play at all, I don't think.
Well, at the time, there was such a big difference between what is acceptable and what is considered risque between the time this play was written, and now it's like a different world.
Right. And these people have their problems. There's no doubt about it. But no more so than Stanley and Death, in Streetcar Named Desire,
right,
and all
right.
these other characters, Brick and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. So
yeah, that was done at. They did Cat on a Hot Tin Roof at Cyrano's, about 5 or 6 years ago, and they and they also did Streetcar. Right? Was that the PAC? Carrie Moat did it with Coca Pelli. Yeah. So I think it's been about 5, 6, 7 years since we last saw Tennessee Williams in a full length. Now you got the old poet in the play.
Yes, Nano. Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connor is playing that 97-year-old, and he had his makeup on the other night. And I don't know how old Kevin is. Do you?
I believe he's at least into his 50s, if not late 50s.
Yeah. So he has to age another 40 years in this play. That's a pretty nice job of it.
Good.
It is beautiful. It is breathtaking, the transformation. I've worked with Kevin before in a previous show. I love Sex and the IRS, and he went from an IRS agent to an old poet. And it's just the transformation just from makeup alone, let alone mannerisms and character depth, is just beautiful.
Yeah, and the poem is pretty cool, too.
It's very, and I made some, there were some moments of epiphany on that poem and how I was just thinking of it as a poem, but it really ties into the
totally
play.
It totally fits
just
in.
Goes right in.
And it's such an extra bonus. I mean, the play is everything, really.
It does,
you know, and then the author himself being, the two women.
Right.
You know, the two side. He's always the two, main women. There's kind of, the same coin, the wild one and the repressed one.
Right.
It's just so rich. There's just so much there. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming down. It's all we have time for. We can talk about this on and on. But we've been talking to Grant Olson, director, and Logan Keller, actor from Valley Performing Arts. They're just telling us about their production, which opens tonight, of Night of the Iguana. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And now, here's the Stage Talk calendar. The Alaska Native Heritage Center presents Raven's Radio Hour tonight and Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts, Sidney Lawrence Theater. For tickets and more information, call 263-ARTS.
Anchorage Community Theater concludes their run of The Rainmaker. This is the final weekend for that show. Showtimes are Friday, tonight, and Saturday at 7 p.m. with a final Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. And this show is at the ACT Studio Theater at 1133 East 70th Avenue. For tickets and more information, go to www.actalaska.org or call 868-4913.
And finally, Valley Performing Arts presents The Night of the Iguana, opening tonight at the Mockatonce Theater. It will run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 p.m. with a Sunday matinee. That is Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. This show runs through March 22nd. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to www.valleyperformingarts.org. Well, that's it for this week's Stage Talk. Thanks for listening. Until the next time for KSKA and the next time at 2:15, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Mark Murrow.